You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, January 26, 2026. Southbound. New pipelines push more Haynesville natural gas south to meet LNG demand. Published by Lindsay Schneider. Haynesville natural gas production is heading back to record levels thanks to growing LNG demand and new pipelines designed to move gas from north to south in Louisiana. Since last summer, two new pipelines, Momentum's NG3 and Williams's Louisiana Energy Gateway, or LEG, have been pushing production east and pulling more gas south to serve LNG demand in the area near Lake Charles. In today's RBN blog, we'll preview some of the topics we'll be covering regularly in our new weekly Nat Gas Haynesville report by taking a closer look at how LEG and NG3 are reshaping the market. The Haynesville Shale is one of the most consequential gas basins in the U.S., especially as LNG exports along the Gulf Coast continue to grow. See Sitting, Waiting, Wishing. One of the first shale basins to be extensively exploited with unconventional drilling techniques, the Haynesville burst onto the scene in 2008 during the early days of the shale revolution. While the Appalachian Basin is the largest gas producer, and the Permian the fastest growing, the Haynesville stands out for three significant reasons. First, its location in northwest Louisiana and northeast Texas puts it in a sweet spot, nestled close to Gulf Coast LNG export facilities and well-positioned to serve rising power demand across the southeast. Second, unlike the Permian and Appalachian basins, the Haynesville isn't boxed in by infrastructure and pipeline constraints. It has spare pipeline capacity, though that does not mean that all the gas can get to the most ideal markets, which means producers can ramp up output in the near term without waiting for new infrastructure. Finally, the basin is extremely responsive to Henry Hub prices, perhaps more so than any other basin in the U.S. When prices are high, production climbs. When prices are low, it pulls back. That makes the Haynesville one of the country's most effective swing producers. As LNG demand grows and puts upward pressure on Henry Hub prices, the Haynesville is poised to respond. Production in the basin peaked in May 2023, just shy of 16.5 BCF per day, following the extremely high Henry Hub pricing in 2022. The rig count peaked in late 2022, reaching 75, before producers scaled back in response to lower prices in 2023 and 2024. The rig count began climbing again last year and stands at 46 as of mid-January. Production fell from the May 2023 peak to just above 13 BCF per day at the end of 2024 before beginning to climb again last year. Current production is around 16 BCF per day, and we expect output to keep rising this year, topping the previous record by spring. Once new takeaway capacity comes online, it will push even higher from there as the new pipelines begin to fill. While overall U.S. production growth has been based on supportive production economics intrinsically linked to the prices of crude oil and natural gas, increases in export demand have done more to shape the Haynesville. Although the basin had sufficient spare pipeline capacity, most of it was heading east across the top of Louisiana. And while much of that gas subsequently turned south, it's not the ideal route for serving the growing demand along the coast. Strong LNG demand incentivized pipeline build-out along a more direct path, heading straight from the producing area in northwest Louisiana to LNG demand in the Sabin River area. Projects like Energy Transfer's Gulf Run and DT Midstream's LEAP began expanding flows along this route in 2022 and 23. Then last year, service began on Williams's LEG and Momentum Midstream's NG3. We should note that LEAP, LEG, and NG3 are all regulated by state entities rather than the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, because they are technically long gathering lines rather than traditional pipelines. See Shall We Gather at the River for more. This has helped speed up infrastructure and build-out in the basin and for more projects to move forward. While Louisiana has always had higher production levels than the Texas side of the play, the build-out in Louisiana has emphasized this trend. Haynesville production on the Texas side is down year-on-year, while Louisiana is up more than 2.3 BCF per day from January 2025. Production on the Texas side was particularly weak when the pipelines began service over the summer but has strengthened this winter. Comparatively, production in Louisiana surged in the back half of last year, but growth has leveled off somewhat. More growth is still expected on both sides of the state line both this year and in the years ahead as LNG export capacity and related feed gas demand continues to grow. Even with the growth in Haynesville production, there is still available capacity on three of the four routes that bring basin volumes down to the Sabine River area. Flows on LEAP are consistent with or just below the pipeline's 1.9 BCF per day capacity, but there is still southbound capacity available on Gulf Run, LEAG, and NG3. In the case of Gulf Run, this is because of the delayed startup of Golden Pass LNG on the Texas side of the Sabine River. Golden Pass is the anchor shipper on that pipeline, holding 1.1 BCF per day of its 1.65 BCF per day of capacity. While the terminal's startup will cause more gas to flow south, this won't necessarily cause an increase in Haynesville production because that gas can also head east on Energy Transfer's pipelines in northern Louisiana. Data indicates that flows on LEG are around 1.2 BCF per day, and flows on NG3 are 1.3 to 1.4 BCF per day, leaving more than 2 BCF per day of combined capacity on the four pipelines still available. Because gathering to market lines are not FERC-regulated, they are not required to report operational data, and it is possible that the lines are still ramping up to full capacity. As Haynesville shale production has shifted east and outflows have shifted toward the Sabine River, this has, of course, changed the way gas moves into, out of, and around Louisiana. With output down on the Texas side of the basin, less gas is flowing across the state line into northwest Louisiana. Likewise, as more gas is pulled south, less of it flows to the east. However, strong winter demand in the southeast and lower inflows from Appalachia began pulling more gas east, across the state, in December. This caused a drop in outflows from northwest Louisiana to south Louisiana, which had risen as Plaquemine LNG was ramping online. Having spare capacity on multiple routes allows the Haynesville to react to seasonal domestic demand trends, pricing incentives, and the specific where of LNG export demand. In the short term, that helps the market optimize, but in the long run, LNG demand is expected to grow by more than 14 BCF per day by the early 2030s. In the face of that astronomical growth, more production and pipeline capacity are needed not only from the Haynesville but from anywhere you can get them. As a result, despite the current availability of capacity out of the basin, more is coming to the in the anticipation of rapid volume growth. WhiteWater recently upsized its planned Pelican pipeline, which will follow a similar route to the gathering to market lines. The project, which is due online in 2027, was originally going to be a 36-inch diameter, 1.75 BCF per day pipeline, but WhiteWater announced last summer that it had received sufficient interest to justify upsizing it to a 42-inch, 2.5 BCF per day pipe instead. The growing need for more production within reach of LNG demand centers has also led to investment in new areas such as the newly dubbed Western Haynesville, see into the Great Wide Open. Primarily in East Texas's Robertson, Freestone, Limestone, and Leon counties, the play is southwest of the Texas side of the Haynesville. In May, Comstock Resources drilled its first well in Freestone County with an initial production, or IP, rate of 41 million cubic feet per day. Currently, there are 7 rigs in the Western Haynesville with more activity and investment from Comstock and others are planned for this year. Growing LNG demand and rising Henry Hub prices have made monitoring activity in the Haynesville more important than ever. RBN's new NatGas Haynesville report will keep you up to date with what's happening in the basin in real time and provide insights on the trajectory of the basin and what it means for the overall U.S. fundamental picture. The new report tracks production, outflows, basis and infrastructure development to help you better understand this key area for the U.S. gas market. The report will dive into production trends across Louisiana and Texas, along with outflows, corridor behavior, and pipeline activity and expansions impacting Gulf Coast LNG. Southbound was written by Dickie Betts and appears as the first song on side two of the Allman Brothers Band's fourth studio album, Brothers and Sisters. The country-tinged blues number features the soulful vocals of Greg Allman, with guitarist Dickie Betts providing tasty licks from the PF pickups of his 1957 gold-top Gibson Les Paul he called Goldie. The Allman Brothers' unique way of providing a groove is perfectly exemplified in this song. Never released as a single, the song did receive heavy rotation on FM radio at the time in the days before MTV. Personnel on the record were Greg Allman, vocals, keyboards, Dickie Betts, lead guitar, Lamar Williams bass, Jijuani Johansson, drums, and Butch Trucks, drums, percussion. Brothers and Sisters was recorded between October and December 1972 at Capricorn Sound in Macon, with Johnny Sadlin and the Allman Brothers Band producing. This was the last album that founding bassist Barry Oakley played on, before dying from injuries received in a motorcycle wreck, just blocks away from where guitarist Dwayne Allman died in a similar accident about a year earlier. The album was released in August 1973 and went to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Two singles were released from the LP. The Allman Brothers Band was an American rock band formed in Jacksonville, Florida, in 1969 by Dwayne Allman, Greg Allman, Dickie Betts, Barry Oakley, Jijuani Johansson, and Butch Trucks. Brothers Greg and Dwayne Allman had played together before in The Allman Joys and Hourglass. Hourglass released two studio albums on Liberty Records in 1967 and 1968. The band relocated to Macon, where their manager Phil Walden and his record label, Capricorn Records, were located. They released their debut studio album, Idle Wild South, in 1969. They released 12 studio albums, 7 live albums, 18 compilation albums, and 22 singles. They have won a Grammy Award, a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. 20 members passed through the band from its inception until its breakup in 2014. Dwayne Allman died in Macon in October 1971 at 24. Barry Oakley died in Macon in November 1972 at 24. Butch Trucks died in West Palm Beach in January 2017 at 69. Greg Allman died in Richmond Hill, Georgia, in May 2017 at 69. Dickie Betts died in Osprey, Florida, in April 2024 at 80.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.